ready to see clients. And we have her on today to talk about domestic violence and what she's doing in Wrangell to help out the community. So she comes from Women in Safe Homes in Ketchikan, and she is visiting Wrangell once a month to offer services to anybody that is dealing with domestic violence. So let's get her on the line. Hi.
Hi, everybody. This is Erin.
Hey, Erin. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Cool. So go ahead and tell me, how long have you been working in this realm of domestic violence?
I've been working with WISH for 2 years now, and before that, just kind of more life experiences, but I've been at WISH for 2 years.
Okay, and then, you know, what is the definition of domestic violence as you see it and as you know it from your work?
Domestic violence comes in a lot of different forms, mostly just not, if you want to start out basically, it's just not being respected, not being treated with respect, being put down physically, emotionally, all the different ways that create unhealthy relationships. It could be from anywhere, from a family member, from a loved one, even from a landlord. A lot of people don't realize that last one.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is based off of, you know, it's not based off of someone's aggression or things like that. It's a matter of power and using power over somebody.
Yeah, power and control.
Definitely. And that can be physical, financial, emotional, all these things.
Definitely. Definitely.
Okay. And then go ahead and tell us a little bit about how Wrangell got our, you know, our domestic violence advocate, which is you. You visit us once a month. Tell us how all that came to be.
Well, Wrangell has always been in our locations that we serve in Southeast Alaska. Ketchikan happens to be where our shelter is at, but we do service lots of other places in Southeast. Once we got our new executive director, she wanted to reach out and to the more unserviced areas. After looking at all the different communities, Wrangell was one that we chose due to not having local resources for domestic violence and sexual assault. There really just was a need there. And so we made wonderful contacts through Kay Larson and the Brave group, and they've worked with us immensely on understanding the needs and helping us channel our way over here.
Absolutely. Yeah. And can you give me a sense of, you know, Wrangell doesn't have that many resources. You know, what does that look like in the rest of Southeast?
That's common, actually, in quite a few places. Obviously, people are trying to work to build up the foundation of different places, but not having somebody that you know that you can go to, and there's, like, trained professionals who understand trauma and abuse and even sexual assault or any of that stuff is hard on people, you know, where to turn to if there's nowhere to turn to. So that is my biggest thing that I want to do here, is just be that person that people can turn to, and just know that I'll be here every month on the second Tuesday. But for the rest, I mean, we do relocations and things like that. So there is still our 1-800 number to WISH, but it's not just Southeast Alaska, like all of Greater Alaska and all that stuff is, everybody's spread out, and it's a big, big homeland for these people to be able to get services. So we're just trying to keep everybody connected as safe as we can.
Absolutely. Thank you. So, yeah, so this, you know, WISH decided they wanted to reach out to, you know, other communities like Wrangell get more involved in those communities. And then Brave was there to kind of facilitate that. So let's see. So you've been getting acquainted with Wrangle, talking to clients, also talking to community leaders. Yeah, what is the need in Wrangle? What do you get a sense of for Wrangle?
For Wrangle, it's a lot like all the other communities as well, is finding safe options for families that are involved in DV and SA, being able to use the local resources that you have already and referrals to support during the different, right now we're kind of in a transition. Like, Wish is over there and Brave is over here, Wrangle's over here, but you guys do have some local resources, and definitely the team is building to be more stable resource. And in the meantime, just being able to let people know, safety planning, things like that.
Okay.
Knowing that people are here to care about your safety, that there is somebody that comes to talk to.
Yeah, exactly. And, my understanding is that, Wrangle does have, we have some resources that are available to people. They can reach out to churches. They can always call the police in these certain incidents. Maybe sometimes they can rely on their neighbors. You're saying that you're the person that we have now that, specializes in this, and is separate from these entities. Why is it important to have that service now?
I think it helps people feel more comfortable being able to open up to somebody who, is trained in our field. Going to maybe a police officer or a healthcare facility or something like that, it feels kind of clinical. And, people are a little afraid of that just because it is a small town and who's going to know that they went there and whatever, whereas here it's more confidential. Everything that we say, doesn't leave this room, and I think that that's a big help. But having somebody to talk to and turn to is also huge, be it somebody or whatever. So that's what we're trying to build is a relationship between people being able to speak out about what's happening to them, empowering their ability to share really will empower them to start making more steps forward.
Yeah, you're saying that's the first step, is to come to somebody and say, I'm going through this and I'm interested in seeking help. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good.
Okay, then, Aaron, let's go to a break real quick just to give people a moment to call in if they want to. And I will be back with you in about 40 seconds.
Okay, sure.
Uh-huh. All right, so you're listening to Talk on the Rock. The time is 1:12. We have Erin Rupert on the line. She is a Women in Safe Homes advocate, and she is in Ketchikan, but she visits Wrangle once a month. This is a new service so that she can help out anybody in Wrangle that is dealing with domestic violence. So, it would be cool if you want to call in and ask a question. We can take your questions now, and we'll be back with Aaron in about 30 seconds. All right, Aaron, are you with us?
Yep.
Thank you so much. So, before we really get into what you're doing, in Wrangle and what you can provide to people. I would love your take on what are some of the misconceptions people have about domestic violence.
A misconception might be that it has to be your boyfriend or your girlfriend. It could be your mom. It can be, you go to try to pay your rent and he's kind of sleazy. That's domestic violence. You're living in a house paying somebody for a service and they're trying to take advantage of that situation, they don't have to leave marks on you for it to be domestic violence. They can be hurting you with their words, with their attitude, with their controlling of your money. It's not just being beaten or being raped. It's all of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so remind us again, when are you in Wrangell?
I'm in Wrangell every second Tuesday of the month and Wednesday. So on the Tuesdays that I'm here, I will be at the Public Health Center from about 11 till 4:30. And then on Wednesdays, I'll be at the Lutheran Church from 11 to 2.
All right. And have you got any clients so far today?
I can't confirm or deny.
Okay. I can't confirm or deny. I understand that. I remember this. Okay. So, yeah. So if somebody walks into your office, I would love to just get a sense of what do you walk them through when they come in?
Okay. Well, first of all, I just want to let them know that they're in a safe place, and really just we can offer lots of different things, but we would start out with a meet and greet, of course, and then kind of just get right into making sure that the person is safe. That's kind of a big, it sounds in a broad question, but once you start talking with somebody, you learn, you know, as they're talking, and so do they sometimes, if they're safe or not. From then on, as an advocate, a big part of my job is just listening to what's happening with an open ear and an objective mindset, that there's no such thing as a normal crisis. You know, people come in and share their story, and they want to know, you know, is this okay? Is it not okay? Is this normal? Is this not normal? Well, there's not a normal DV situation. You know, each one's different, and it's really about your emotional and physical well-being and what you're comfortable with, and, you know, realizing maybe that you were comfortable with something yesterday and today you're not comfortable with it, and that that's okay, and that you can start making changes and steps forward for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would love to go back to this idea of, yeah, so the first thing you want to let them know is that they're in a safe place when they're with you and they're talking to you. And then you want to get an idea of what their safety looks like, you know, and we talk about safety planning. Can you talk about what is safety planning?
Safety planning comes with, you know, like in a situation, a lot of times people will, when they go home, when they're driving home, they start to get anxious. By the time they walk through the door, they're walking on eggshells, and their whole life changes, their whole attitude changes, their personality, everything changes because they're in fear and they're scared, or, you know, to make the wrong choice or the wrong move according to someone else. And so a safety plan would start setting up the different things that you do in that situation when you can feel it getting heightened, your fear or your ability to, you know, stay there and be safe. So be it, you know, maybe you pack a bag and leave it at a friend's house because you know you're not going to be able to stay there one night, or you have a separate phone, or, you know, you can make a phone call to us at any time with maybe like a code word, like, hey, I'd like to order a triple meat pizza, or, you know, we have lots of different, depending on the situation and the severity of what's happening to each person, different avenues.
Exactly. Yeah, and you said every case of domestic violence is its own case, and that's sort of what you base your safety plans off of.
Yeah, and that's we base it off, you know, what people are willing to open up and tell us about. So, you know, that's why having an advocate here is important, because we are trained and we do understand where people are coming from, and it's not easy, and you don't want to tell your story a million times. You want to share it with somebody who can help set up the right path.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it sounds like, you know, when people come to you, you know, you want to let them feel safe and you want them to open up to you. And really, after that point, it's you two working together. You know, it's their decisions to make at the end of the day. Yeah,
it is. It is. I was just going to say that is that it's, we are also our big deal is respecting each person's right to and an ability to make their own choices. And it has to be on their terms. You know, you can set up a safety plan or think that you're ready to leave today. And by the time you leave the office, you know, you're not. You know, and that's okay. And that's another big thing is it's your safety plan and we build it around your needs. And then when creating the support system, so when the time comes and they are willing to leave, that they have some steps in place.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that you say that. You know, yeah, two things that, you know, somebody doesn't need to come to you saying, I'm ready to leave today. They just need to come to you and say, I have something I'm going through. I want to start dealing with it. And that it's a way for you to start putting things in place, you know, because you want to, if at the end of the day, somebody does want to leave, even, you know, not that they have to, but if they want to, you know, it's probably a good idea to, put things in place, look and see how that can, how you can have the safest transition. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Because it's a lot of times it's not right away. It's really not. And that's okay because it is a process. And sometimes when people walk through the door, they're just walking through and have no idea why they're even here, but they feel like they need to talk to somebody. And then that's where it all starts. It's just getting it off your chest.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So somebody can come to you, you know, they can get something off their chest and make plans to keep them as safe as they can be in their situation. And then for those folks that are saying, you know, I want to leave, but there's difficulties, you know, I have financial difficulties, or I'm having a hard time just finding a place or finding that support. You know, when somebody is ready to leave, how can you help them with these sort of kind of financial or other tangible crises?
That's where it gets a little harder, just like for financial needs, that's always going to be a roadblock for almost everybody leaving a situation, because you go from either two income household, or you maybe even were never in control of any of the money and you're leaving with nothing. We do relocations to Ketchikan when people need to get away, like, right away. That is always a possibility. I just want to always make sure people know that. But that's a huge roadblock. It's a huge roadblock for anybody.
Yeah. And
but we do. That is something that I'm learning as I'm working in Wrangell, with the resources and the people, and where to direct them to. Here, your local resources, the different food banks, the different places where they can bring their kids and have a break. So it's really interesting and great getting to know all that stuff through you guys.
Yeah, can you just tell us a little bit more about that? You know, what do those avenues look like?
Which one?
Well, like you mentioned food banks, you know, but yeah, what else?
Food banks. Probably getting connected with local TANF or getting on food stamps. You know, a lot of people, they're under their control 24/7. Just getting also understanding, too, there's a lot of different situations where people are being controlled, like with drugs or alcohol and things like that, where it makes it hard for them, and just letting them know the different resources for groups and places to go for things like that as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you can point them in the right direction for, services for any sort of alcohol or drug abuse, for any financial assistance coming through maybe Salvation Army or coming from the state. What about like housing vouchers? What do those look like?
Housing vouchers is there's only so many. Wrangell actually only has one, and that we're connected with. So WISH has what's called Empowerment Choice Vouchers, and we have a handful at all times. But if the handful is being used, we don't get another one. Does that make sense? And so all of ours are actually used up. Wrangell does have one right now, and so the way that looks like is we get the application. It just opened up, to my knowledge, and I'm not 100% certain on this, but to my knowledge, is it just opened up. So we get the applications. You do a regular Alaska housing application, and then you get a form from us that I have, and you fill that out, and you have to get it stamped by your local Alaska housing person and then sent to us, and we go over the vouchers. But if you're wanting to be on that list, you need to be in contact with WISH. You need to be talking to an advocate, which would be me or anybody at WISH. You can call anytime. We have a 24-hour hotline, but also from 8 to 4, there's advocates there to talk with, because it does go, you know, they have to be reviewed. The cases have to be reviewed.
Yeah, absolutely.
It goes, we have a lot of different reasons and guidelines that we have to follow to make sure that, and try to help, you know, if we could help 100 people, we would, but there's only one. So we gotta sort through and just choose.
Exactly. Yeah. There's limited resources at the end of the day.
Yeah. That's the sad part.
That's the sad part. Yeah. Yeah, and you being there means that you're able to help people plan all these things out. But yeah, you can't just make a shelter appear here with no money.
Right, in my mind, I'm building one right now as you're talking. I'm like, it would go right down to, yeah. But no, yeah, so we can't provide a shelter actually in Wrangell. We don't have that, but... We're definitely always remember that there is a shelter in Ketchikan, and we'll relocate as soon as we can for situations.
Yeah, definitely. If somebody wants to go that road, then you all can help them out in that way. How many beds do you have at your Ketchikan shelter?
We have 32 beds.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's nice there. I mean, it's a shelter and it's communal living, but, you know, it's a safe place. It's a safe place.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, then, you know what? I think we can wrap up our conversation. Actually, I remember one thing I wanted to talk about. So, you know, you're here talking with clients, but you're now part of this kind of larger Wrangell Healthy Coalition, and you know, you're working with Brave. Give me a sense of what other maybe prevention measures are happening in Wrangell that you're a part of, or anything like that. Like you mentioned today that somebody is at the schools doing assessments.
Schools right now, well, they're doing screenings for vision and hearing. And
oh, okay.
I know there's a resilience movie being shown for some community members at the cafe tonight. And there was another movie just not too long ago, Paper Tigers, and I just always encourage people from the community to join those events. There's a couple things coming up, open mics, and those are actually really empowering and bring people together. Wrangell has a lot of great community connections. When I come here, I always feel welcomed, and I'm always like big-eyed and listening, because there's just thing after thing that you guys offer to people and open up to, and I'm always just inspired whenever I come by here. So it's kind of cool.
All right. Yeah, we're glad to hear that. Yeah, and we're so glad to have you come here and provide this really much needed service.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, Erin, thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Dan.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
Okay. You've been listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1:30 p.m. and we will be back next week with another guest as always. See you then.